We're going to start a new series today, and through this year, we've been following a whole bunch of series. We did a series on Christology, on who Jesus is, followed by another series on soteriology. You're going to think, am I in church? What are these big words? But soteriology, in that series, we learnt about our so great a salvation. We learnt what Jesus did for us on that cross through his death, his burial, his resurrection. And we went through a whole series of what he did for us, the fact that we are forgiven. You know, just think about that we are forgiven, that we are justified. We've been made righteous. We've been reconciled. We've been redeemed. These are all quite big words, but they all have meaning. And if you don't know what any of them mean, go to our app and you'll find all the messages relating to these big words. We've been sanctified. We've been adopted. We've been raised in newness of life. And so these are just some awesome, amazing truths about who we are in Christ the day we got saved. Just think about that. Pause. Hey, think about it. That I'm redeemed. I've been bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm adopted. I'm adopted as God's child. He's adopted me into his family. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. God has got a plan and a purpose for every single person here today. You've been set apart for the purposes of God. These are awesome truths. So at salvation, when we get saved, the day we give our life to Jesus, the Bible says we become new creatures, a new creation, a new race of man by the new birth. That's a beautiful graphic, isn't it? Fruit of the Spirit. They've given away my title already. We're going to do a series on the fruit of the Spirit, in case you weren't sure. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, if you are born again, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, look, see, all things have become new. So at salvation, our old nature is done away with. We were once by nature children of wrath, children of the devil, basically. But now in Christ, we are new creatures. And throughout the year, this year in particular, it's become so evident to us that God wants us to grow, not just in knowledge. We're not going to walk around with fat heads and thin hearts, okay? It's not just to grow in knowledge, but God wants us to grow up in all things. We are a three-part being, and the part of us, we're spirit, soul, and body. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. The soul is made up, mind, will, and emotions. We're three-part being. But the part of us that gets born again, when we talk about becoming a new creature, is our spirit man. But there's more to us than just our spirit. There's our soul and there's our body. And so my spirit has been saved. My body will be saved. And my soul is being saved. I love it. James says like this, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Save your soul. So God wants to touch every part of our lives. He doesn't want just us to be sort of spirit men, strong, powerful, but a little bit weird in all other areas, okay? I don't know how else to put it. But he wants to touch every part of our lives, including our character. Including our character. But the good news is, he doesn't expect us to do it alone. He doesn't say, okay, get on with it, sort yourselves out. Praise God for his mercy. Wow. But when you become born again, not only are you given a new heart, but you've received the Holy Spirit of God, to come and indwell you, and God's divine nature. Pause, think about that. God's given you his divine nature. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. What beautiful words. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. These are big words, but it's okay, we'll get there. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Verse 3, his divine power, God's power, has given to us everything we need. Everything we have need of, it's done already. It's happened. He has given to us all things. And in verse 4, he says there, the promises which have been given, past tense, these promises have been given to us. So he gives us everything. He places everything that we have need of at our disposal to grow us. Why? So that we may become a partaker of God's divine nature. A sharer. A partaker is someone who shares. A partner. Become a partner with God, with his divine nature. You think about God's nature. Man, we could be here all day. He's holy, he's just, he's pure, he's majestic, he's wonderful, he's awesome, he's great. We've just been singing these lyrics. He's great, how great is our God. You can become a partaker of God's divine nature. So as followers of Jesus, our greatest calling is to become more like Jesus. Romans 8:29. Just going to read part of the verse. It says, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. If you are wondering, why on earth was I saved? Here's your answer. You were saved to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Maybe you want to become a preacher. Maybe you want to become a pastor. Maybe you want to become a missionary. That's great. But your first calling is to be predestined, is predestined to be conformed, to become like Jesus. We have been chosen to bear the family likeness. Jesus is our big brother. In the message, I love this, it says, we see the original and intended shape for our lives in him. We see the original an intended shape for our lives is in Christ. You want to know what you need to be doing? Follow him. Imitate him. You know what? God has a plan and a purpose for every single person here today. He has a plan, and it's not a plan of just barely getting by, you know, just making enough to make ends meet. It's an abundant life. It's a fruitful life. It's a blessed life. The life that God has for each one of us is an abundant, fruitful, blessed life. And his plans are to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you, Isabella, a future and a hope. Some people that feel, man, I'm in a trial of my life. God's got a plan for your life. It's a good plan. a plan to prosper you, a plan to give you a hope and a future. Jesus says in John 10:10, he says, I have come that you might have life in all its abundance, that you may have and enjoy your life, have it in abundance to the full and overflowing. That's a good life. Who wants a life like that? Me, I'd put up both hands. Amen. Jesus is our role model. He's our example. But we're not just to become admirers of Jesus. You know, because a lot of religions will say, oh yes, Jesus, yeah, he's a good man. We're not called to be admirers. We're called to imitate him, to become like him, to conform to his image. But we're not going to be conforming to his image by behavior modification. You're not all going to start dressing like me. Please don't, because it would look terrible, especially on the men, when you wear a dress like this. But we're not called to conform by behavior modification. It's not by changing what we wear. We're not all going to look the same. We're all individual personalities. Okay, it's not going to be the way we dress. It's not going to be the way we speak, although the way we speak will be affected. Let me promise you that. He will affect you. And it's not about the way we behave. Because Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. We'll know them by the fruit. So the next 5 weeks, we're going to go through the series on the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to become fruit inspectors. Hallelujah. I feel like a bit like Rhino Bonky every now and then. We're going to become fruit inspectors. But we're not going to inspect each other's fruit, Simone. Let me check out your fruit for today. No, not quite good enough. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to look to ourselves. Okay, we're not going to compare ourselves to others. We're going to compare ourselves to ourselves, to the measure of the Word of God. Okay, we're not going to be picking on each other. So we're going to carry out a spiritual MOT. Okay, is this all right? So what happens at an MOT? Your car goes for an MOT every year. And so every year, you're going to have your car examined. And it's like, well, are your tires okay? Are they balding a little bit? How about the oil? The oil might be a little bit contaminated. So we're going to check out ourselves. You know what? When I was in finance for many, many years, I used to love spreadsheets because you get your profit and loss every month and every year, and you'd have all these columns, and you'd be able to compare, this is what we did last month, and this is what we've done this month, and this is what we did last year this time. And this, you know, and you look at your month-to-date, your year-to-date figures, and I can see some people know exactly what I'm talking about. But you draw a comparison. Where were the figures a year ago? And the same with us in our fruits. Let's do a little MOT. Where were the fruits in your life a year ago? 5 years ago? A week ago? 10 years ago? You name it, whatever it might be. But let's draw a little bit of a comparison. Compare ourselves with ourselves in line with the Word of God. And let's just see, how's my loveometer, if there is such a word? You know, how's my little, instead of the speedometer, I've got a loveometer. How's my love walk? How's my peace? The peace in my life? My peace in my heart? How's my peace-o-meter? How's my joy-o-meter? Woohoo! But you know what? Life is messy. I don't know if anyone notices that. Life is messy, and stuff happens, and storms come, and they hit us all. Trials come, trials go. But let's make sure that the trials haven't got on the inside of us, that our oil hasn't become contaminated. And if it is, we're going to have an oil change. Okay, we're going to go up on that ramp and we're going to have an oil change. Sounds terrible. But we are going to conform to the image of Jesus. So if we're going to do that, if we're going to bear the family likeness, let's look at Galatians 5 to see a perfect example of what that fruit needs to look like. And look at this. It says, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Nine fruits. Actually, it's singular. You'll see it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So, but then it mentions a whole bunch of different ones. So what the purpose of this is that every single one of those aspects of the fruit, the foundation has to be love. It has to be love. So the fruit of the Spirit is manifested through love, through different fruits. But the foundation has to be love. You know, if you can think about this in terms of some people that will pop into your mind, you think, I know some people who have really got a gentle nature. And I think, oh, I wish I could be like that, all sweet and gentle. You know, but maybe they're not saved. They might not be saved. That's just their natural way. You know, some people are naturally kind. Some people are naturally joyful, but they might not know Jesus. But that's when the foundation for that nature is not based on the love of God. That's just a natural slant, if you like. Okay, so we're talking here, very important, my number one point is that it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is a description of God's nature. This is not a list of your personal strengths and weaknesses. Okay. Is this okay? It's not a list. This is a fruit. This is a list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And good news is that fruit is in you. If you're a child of God, this fruit is in you. It's already in you. Look what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says this. It says this. There we go. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Has been. The love of God has been. Past tense. So you might wake up in the morning and think, I'm not feeling very loving. Guess what? We walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings. The love of God has been poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5 verse 1 says, having been justified by faith, past tense, we have peace with God, present tense, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Another scripture that's not going to come up on the screen is God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, or a sound mind, but self-control. It's already done. It's already done. So if any of the fruits are in short supply in your life, maybe they seem a little bit underdeveloped, the good news is that they can be developed. They can be, but they're already there. They're already there. They just might be in seed form because everything in the kingdom works with a seed principle. Every single principle is a seed, but the seed's purpose is to grow. It's not to remain a seed. The seed's purpose is to grow. And throughout the word, we can see that fruit can be developed. Look at this. 1 John 2 verse 5 says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. That word perfected means matured, completed. That's an amazing scripture. But notice the dependency. The love of God is perfected in him, not in isolation. We've got a part to play. The first part, whoever keeps his word. Be a doer of the word. But then truly the love of, as we do the word of God, whether you feel like it or not, but that's how the love of God is matured in us. It's developed in us. 2 Peter 1:2, we read it earlier. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You know what I've discovered? The more knowledge I have of God, the more peace I have in my heart. Just knowing him gives me so much peace. And there's the scriptural proof. As we grow in knowledge, in the knowledge of God, peace is multiplied. There's growth. It develops. John 15:11 says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. Not half, not quarter, not just a little dribble. No, that your joy may be full. Do you know what? You've got joy in your heart. You will see what you look like from here. You have got joy in your heart. You've just got to express it. You've just got to release it. You know, you're like, no, I don't want to. I don't want to. No, release the joy. That's better. Hey, you will see what you look like from up here. One day I'm going to take a photo from this way, from this direction. But that's better. You've got joy in your heart. But it's not based on circumstances. It's based on the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. So, fruit which the Holy Spirit produces in our lives is supernatural. It's not like a gift. Okay, this is fruit. It's supernatural in that the fruit can know no bounds. There's no limit to the fruit. It'll just continue to grow and grow and grow. Listen to Paul's prayer to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 3:19. It says, this is Paul praying. He says that you would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. The love of Christ which passes knowledge. And listen to the rest of it. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, I want that for myself. I'm going to grab me some of that prayer today. I want to be filled with the fullness of God. I don't know about anybody else. Anybody going to join me in praying this prayer? That we may know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That's supernatural. How can you know the love of Christ? It passes knowledge. If you try and sit and fathom the love of Christ, you can't. You can't. It passes knowledge. Another well-known scripture, Philippians 4:7, it talks about the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We can experience the peace of God that transcends human understanding. How is that possible? Precursor to that is to be be careful of what you're thinking about. But the peace of God surpasses all understanding. 1 Peter 1:8 is one of our favorite scriptures. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Hallelujah. Well, can I have a hallelujah, please? Thank you. Thank you. You can rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It's a joy that exceeds expectations. It exceeds expectations. I love what Alice said once. It's like a holy giggle. It's like a holy giggle. I love that description, hey, Alice. It's a holy giggle. But the Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. We can have unspeakable joy, glorious joy. So, supernatural. My next point is we cannot manufacture these gifts, these fruits ourselves. We're not speaking about a person's natural disposition. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which are produced in our lives as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit in your life and in my life is as a result of the Holy Spirit working in your life along with a willingness on your part and mine to yield to Him. We can choose to ignore Him and just carry on as we have been, or we can choose to yield to Him. And as we yield to Him, that's when the change happens. So we call to conform, change, be transformed to the image of Jesus. And that word conform, from a Latin word, and also the Greek word is the same. The Latin word comes from two parts of a word. Con, meaning together with, and form, formare, means to form, to shape, to mold. So to conform means to make of the same form or character. That's what we're going to become like Christ, like, to become like Jesus. But it's only as we continually and willingly yield to the Holy Spirit's promptings in our lives that fruit is developed. But we've got to keep the conditions healthy. You know, if you want to sow a seed of any plant, you've got to make sure it's in the right conditions. You can't just not give it water or not give it soil. There's got to be certain conditions, and that's the same with the seed. Sometimes these fruits are in a seed form in our lives, but we've got to create the right environment and the right conditions. And the way we do it, keep sowing to the Spirit. Keep sowing to the Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's promptings. Some of you might not know what I'm talking about, but stay with us. When we come back after summer, we're going to do a series on the Holy Spirit called Pneumatology. We're going to learn about who the Holy Spirit is. But I'm telling you, He's the third person of the Godhead, and He's alive today in our hearts. But we're going to keep saying to the Spirit, we're going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're going to obey His promptings. When the Holy Spirit says you lose that attitude, then guess what? Listen to Him. Lose it. Lose the attitude. Just choose. I'm going God's way. I'm going to do God's way. You know when you've got a bad attitude. I know when I've got a bad attitude, like do the eye roll. You know, lose that. We can't do eye rolls, okay? We love one another. Okay? I'm not talking about church. No, but be a doer of the word, walk in the Spirit. This is how we conform to the image of Jesus. This is how we are formed together with Him. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So fruit, another aspect about fruit, has to be outwardly visible. Where do you find fruit on a tree? On its branches. It's outwardly visible. So no secret agents. Okay, you're not God's 007 hiding away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, nobody knows that I'm a believer. No. Let your light so shine before men. You're the salt and the light. Come on. You know God. No secret agents. Fruit is the visible expression of the invisible work that God is doing in our lives. That's what the fruit is. It's the visible expression of the invisible work that God is doing in our lives. Every time you say yes to God, something changes on the inside. Every time when you say yes, okay, Holy Spirit, yep, you're right. God, I'm going to do it your way. Watch. There's an invisible work that God is doing, but it becomes visible. It becomes outward. Fruit is displayed on the branches. Jesus says in John 15, He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Bears much fruit. Fruit is born on the branches. It's displayed outwardly. And so it is with the fruit of the Spirit. fruit is manifested outwardly. So the source is the heart. The source is the Holy Spirit, but he impacts our heart. But it's expressed outwardly through word, through works, through deeds, through conduct, character. Oh, suddenly you get a character change. It's amazing. Lifestyle. But fruit isn't fruit until it's displayed. And the good, you know what, when you start going through that list from Galatians 5 and you realize, maybe, you know, I'm not so patient. You know, maybe, yeah, that fruit is a little bit like in seed form. Don't despair, okay? Don't despair. Because God is the one who's at work. And not all fruit manifests at the same time. When we lived in, not far up the road here, when we lived in Liss, we had an apple tree in our garden. And, oh, very nice thing to have, except they make such a mess. Unless you eat apples for breakfast, lunch, and supper for 2 months, you know, you can have apple pie, you can have apple jelly, you can have apple jam, you can have apple. You can get so fed up with apples. So what we found, though, was that for about 6 to 8 weeks, we were picking apples up off the ground. This tree didn't stop producing them. It was a healthy apple tree. But the thing is, they didn't all just rain down one night all at once. Some grew slower. Some took a little bit longer to grow. And that's what kept us busy for between 6 and 8 weeks when we lived there. So we're all a work in progress. Not one of us has arrived. We've all, you know, we all got God's at work in all of our lives as long as we cooperate with him. So development of some fruits take time. They can take time. You know what? You don't become patient or long-suffering overnight. You know, the hint is in the word. Long-suffering. It takes a long time. You know, so be patient. But in the process, God is forming character. Character in you. Listen, this is one of Chris's favorite scriptures, Romans chapter 5 from the Amplified. Listen to this. For those that are going through trials, this one's for you. Is it coming up? Romans chapter 5? No. Verse 3-4 in the Amplified. That's it. Moreover, listen to this. Let us also be full of joy now. Okay. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles. Rejoice, woohoo, in our sufferings. You're kidding me. Knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. Learn the scripture. Learn it in the Amplified and start repeating it. I'm telling you, this has been our mantra. Not between us, you know what I'm saying? But this has been like one of our go-to scriptures. Listen to this. Knowing pressure, affliction, and hardship produce something in our lives. Patient and unswerving endurance. And endurance, which is fortitude, develops maturity of character. There we go. Maturity of character, which is approved faith and tried integrity. I love that. Integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Put that on your fridge. Put it on your fridge. I would encourage you. Learn it. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your phone. Keep it before you. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through the storm, know this. Be full of joy in the midst of it. Knowing this, exult and triumph and rejoice in your trouble. Rejoice in your suffering. Knowing this, Know this, knowing this, pressure and affliction and hardship produce something in my life, endurance. And endurance develops maturity of character, approved faith, tried integrity. Tried integrity. You know, when all hell breaks loose in your life, when all hell breaks loose, man, I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to have this approved faith and this tried integrity. I'm not going to curse God. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless him in the midst of the storm. I'll be full of joy now. So fruit is a product of maturity, and it requires certain conditions to grow. And I've run out of time, but I do want to put this in. We do have an enemy. He's called the devil. But the enemy to fruit in our lives is not the devil. For once, he's not at fault. The enemy to the fruit not forming in our lives is a thing called our flesh. It's our old sin nature. And in Galatians 5, just prior to the scriptures about this, the fruit of the Spirit, there are three verses dedicated to talking about the work of the flesh, the works of the flesh. And for three verses, the Apostle Paul lists them, and he goes, sexual immorality, sorcery, idolatry, impurity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfish ambition, conflict, factions, envy, murder, drunkenness, gluttony, and the like. Just in case he's forgotten anything, he says, and anything else that in case I've forgotten, in case anything's been missed. But let me just encourage you with this. Whatever you feed, grows stronger. Whatever you feed, grows stronger. Whatever you starve, gets weaker. So if you have a problem in any one of those areas in Galatians 5, starve it. Just starve it. If you overeat, stay away from Greg's or from McDonald's or from Burger King or from the shops. You know, just don't go to the shops. But stay away. If overeating is your problem, is your issue with your flesh, it's your flesh. The devil's not making you do it. You're doing it. It's your flesh. Stay away. If you have a tendency to gossip, stay away from those who gossip. Don't get caught up. Come, you know, I want to lean in. Stay away from those who gossip. If you are easily angered, stay away. Bad company corrupts good character. And this is what God's looking for. He's not looking for our comfort. He's looking for character. And he wants, but he's got everything. We've got everything at our disposal. This is just the bit of the stuff that we need to learn about. Don't put yourself in a situation that will tempt you. You know, if you have a drinking problem, don't go to the pub. Don't think that you're going to sit in there and resist. You're not. Okay, just starve it. Don't go there. Just don't go there. Be accountable. There's no shame. You know what? If you've got an area in your life and it's a weakness in your life, find somebody who is spiritually mature, who's not going to blab it, who's going to remain confidential, but stay accountable. It'll help you. It'll really help you. Listen to what it says. But we don't put off those carnal desires by self-will. It's not like a self-help thing. Okay, God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is how we do it. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Do make no provision. In other words, don't plan to indulge it. Romans 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't plan to indulge it. Don't go to Greg's. Don't go to Burger King. Don't make a plan to indulge it and think you're going to be able to resist it. No. The flesh will never be satisfied. The flesh will never be satisfied. But don't plan to indulge your selfish desires, but feed your spirit. Starve that flesh. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wear him well. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dress yourself in Jesus every morning. You know what, man, from what I've heard on the news this weekend about some stuff going on in the world needs Jesus. You know, it's all very well, we can sit, we can criticize it, but the world is lost. Sometimes you are the only Jesus people are going to see. You've got to have that fruit on your branches. Your fruit's got to be visible. You've got to be able to impact your world. I've run out of time, but I do want to finish with this. Galatians 5, write the very last scripture there. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. Listen to this from the Passion. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit with love displayed in multifaceted ways. Listen to this. The fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart. And strength of spirit. Multifaceted ways of love displayed. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have indeed given us all things that pertain to life in godliness. I thank you, Lord, that we can abide in the vine, that you are the vine, we are the branches, that we abide in you, that, Lord Jesus, as we abide in you, we bear much fruit. I thank you, Lord, for every person under the sound of my voice today, that, Lord, if they're feeling a little twinge maybe that, oh man, I'm not so polished in this area, I thank you, Lord, that you give us hope, that you are the one who works in our hearts, you're the one who works in our lives. And so, Father, I just thank you, Father God, that we will be a fruitful people as we abide in you, as we yield to your presence, as we become sensitive to your leading. Lord, your word says that my sheep hear my voice, and that a stranger's voice we will not follow. But Lord, we will follow yours. And so, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you empower us, enable us to follow your leading. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I just want us to keep our hearts open to God. Keep your eyes closed, your head bowed. Let's just, we never want to close any service here without giving people an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Throughout this whole message, I've spoken about being led by the Holy Spirit, about being born again, about salvation. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but today's your day. If you want to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, won't you just slip your hand up and I'll pray with you. Father, I just thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father God, that you are good. I thank you for the blood that you shed for us on Calvary. I thank you, Lord, that we are new creatures in Christ. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.